first chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at some things from there in just a moment. As a matter of fact, we're going to read several verses from that chapter and into chapter 2 tonight in just a moment as we begin. You know, all of us have witnessed the proliferation of smartphones. It's just the way we live. Matter of fact, we've not only witnessed it, we've been part of it. If you were to go to the college class on Tuesday night, during the Bible study that we have and during our singing, of course, we're not looking at our cell phones unless we're looking at our Bible that are on our cell phones. But when that class is over, without exception, before anything else happens, everybody's got to check their phone. It's just kind of one of those amazing things, you know. It's just the way it is right now. And we understand that. It's the nature of the way it is. And as I said, I'm really a part of that as well. I check my phone as well. I'm guilty of that too. But what this culture has done, it has created an educated population. We're educated in ways that 15 or 20 years ago even we weren't educated. And we all understand that. Even younger people are educated. And I think that in part that has made teaching a little bit more difficult in some ways. I taught in college for several years and I enjoyed that. But I noticed, especially in the last few years, that as I taught some of the secular courses that I taught, that young people just, I don't know if I became less smart or if they became smarter, but a lot of things that I would try to tell them, I mean, a lot of those people knew because they have access to information. And we see that all around us. I think that's very easy for us to understand. But this is a culture that has been raised on those kind of things. But with the glorification of science and with human achievement comes an effect that I think really has... is almost outdated in some ways, many of the things that are older. And that's done, I think that's been a negative thing for some of the things that affect our spirituality as well. The idea of God in some ways is considered archaic because that, in the minds of a lot of people, that's what's happened. You know, that was the way old people thought about that. And of course, now we have new age and we have new technology and we have new things. And so I think it challenges us to say and to help people understand that, no, just because we believe in God, we're not unlearned and we're not ignorant people. We have a vast understanding, I think, of who God is as much as we can based upon His Word. And so it's not primitive thinking that helps us reach conclusions that God is God. It's the fact that we study the Bible. But I would suggest to you that if you have yet to be challenged in your personal faith by someone who might say, well, you know, if you believe in God, you're just old-fashioned, or you don't understand what technology helps us understand, or knowledge helps us understand, if you haven't been challenged yet, I would tell you that probably, very probably in your lifetime, you will be challenged. There will be people who will come to you and challenge that. So tonight, let me just do something that, I mean, I do from time to time, but I want to read a little bit, and I want you to follow along in your Bible or on your phone or on your iPad or whatever you have. I want you to follow along from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. And as I read this, I want us to be reminded of how the world may view us. Okay, when I talk about us, I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about people of faith now. I'm talking about those who would believe in God. But I want you to be reminded of how the world would view us and how we ought to view ourselves and how we ought to view those who really do have faith. Let's begin reading, if you will, in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? I appreciate you allowing me to read that. That's a pretty lengthy reading. But did you get a main point in all that? Paul says the main point is that the gospel is for everybody. And the gospel is for all, and it's for all time. And it is not widely received by those who consider themselves intelligent. It's not widely received by those who would have, as Paul would state it, the wisdom of the world. They just don't, they're unwilling. I don't know if that they don't get it, they're unwilling to get it, but Paul says it is foolishness to them. It doesn't come. They don't understand it because I think in many cases the pride which they have. They are wise, they are learned, or they are powerful. I want you to think about Paul as he addresses these Corinthian brethren. Just think about the geography that we're talking about. We're talking about churches that are in Corinth. We're talking about the cities primarily, I would think, of Corinth and Athens, the provinces of Achaia and Macedonia, and as you come all around, all, even above the Aegean Sea, going back down to Asia where Ephesus was, we're talking about an area of the country that prided itself on knowledge and knowing a lot of things. And Paul says, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who have the wisdom of the age, but they don't have the truth of the gospel. To them, as he says, it is simply foolishness. There is, I think, a degree of pride that often, but not always, accompanies this kind of knowledge. And I think we can see that from time to time. And may I suggest this to us? This can be true of people secularly, and it can be future of people spiritually? I just want you to think about that. I know some people that are academic. Nothing wrong with that. I admire that in many ways. But because of the pride that sometimes accompanies that, that they can't see the simple message of the gospel. That pride many times, oftentimes, gets in the way. And may I say this too? I think sometimes that I see even people who pride themselves spiritually with what they know. And sometimes that can get in the way of the simple message of the gospel. Don't take that to an extreme and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I think I have seen people who have, in a very unwelcome way, prided themselves on what they knew. And it gets in the way of the simple message of the gospel. And that's really what I want you to think about tonight. We should prepare ourselves to be able to counter the academically intellectual person. I don't have any doubt about that. I think that all of us need to be able, to whatever degree we can, to accept challenges, to think about people as they talk to us about those things. And whether or not a person is academically intellectual, or, and this is not, these are not mutually exclusive terms, or spiritually intellectual. Sometimes I think people become spiritually intellectual and in essence can intimidate people. And that's certainly not what the purpose of the gospel is. As a matter of fact, we need to be able to counter those arguments many times. So Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9, he would say this, "Cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." We need to be able to counter that. At a place where we are fairly close to a place of academia, we need to be able to conquer some of the things that might come up in an environment like this. We need to be able to think about it and be able to talk about those high arguments and be able to counter that. And as Paul would say, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But the other side of that is that we need to remember Paul's warning to Timothy. The last two verses, take your Bibles and turn to the last two verses of 1 Timothy. I'm talking about in chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. And Paul would say this to Timothy, that he shouldn't get caught up, and I'm going to quote here from those verses, in profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is called knowledge. And then he would go on to say, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Isn't that interesting? The last two things that he says, of course he didn't write these in verses, but the last two ideas that he expresses in this first letter to Timothy is don't get caught up in these profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what people call knowledge. A lot of babbling and a lot of things that in essence don't have any substance to them at all. They're just things that people want to talk about. And Paul tells Timothy, you don't get involved in that. And he says, those who do, they profess to have some knowledge, but they have strayed concerning the faith. Isn't that interesting? What Paul tells Timothy he needs to focus on is the faith. And he says, there are many people out there who are off in all these tangents, going in all these directions, and they've forgotten the essence of what the faith is. They've strayed as a result of that. And they're going off in directions that they don't have any business being off into. And I think it's interesting that that's the last thing he says to him in this first letter. So let me just suggest this then. What do we do? Well, if you're in 1 Timothy, turn back to chapter 1. Turn back to chapter 1. I've said this to you before. I've said this to you fairly recently. Especially with the changes that I've made, some of the changes that I've made in the last year or so. I have tried to pay some special attention to these letters that Paul has written to Timothy. I think it's a good thing for me personally to do that. And that's part of why I want to share this with you tonight. I think it's helped me see some things that I think are important for me. I'm beginning in chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about what he just said in the last part of this letter. And now I want you to think about what he says in the first part of this letter. This is 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. You know, let me just stop right there. That to me helps me understand what my responsibility is to you. I think what he's saying to Timothy is, you know, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes, rather than godly edification which is in faith. Part of my responsibility, not only or not singly, but part of it is to be someone who can invoke godly edification which is in faith. And I need you to help me do that. I need you to express to me, and I've said this to you numbers of times, you know, what is it that you need that can help your faith, that can help grow your faith? It helps me when you express that to me. What is it that I could talk about that would help you? That's what Paul tells Timothy. He goes on to say in verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Isn't that precious? And he says, verse 6, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. I mean, I think Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, you know, Timothy, don't get involved in things that are of no value. You listen to too much, you can get involved in things that are no value, and you don't need to do that. So he goes on over to verse 15 of this same chapter, and he says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Can I just suggest this to us tonight? That the focus of my efforts, the focus of your efforts, I think, as Christians and as us trying to reach people, is to remind them of their predicament in life, that they're sinners. And I think that's what Paul is saying to Timothy in verse 15 when he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I mean, this is the essence, Paul, of what we're trying to, Timothy, of what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to help people understand that they're sinners, that Jesus came into the world to die for them so that if they'll be obedient to Him, He will save them from their sin. He will put them back in this right relationship. How simple. How simple is that? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not simply trying to say that that's all the gospel is. That's not all the gospel is. But in terms of the primary framework, that's what the gospel is. And I think Paul is saying to him several times in this letter, don't get involved and things that are really of no value. That some people just want to talk about things to talk about things. And he's saying, Timothy, don't get involved in that. You stay the course. You keep the faith. You do the things that you need to do to help people understand. I think that's why he says what he does in the very last part of this letter, to help this young preacher understand what it is that he is to do. And then let me suggest that we remember this. That science and technology, you know, and an iPhone or any kind of phone that's smart cannot help us with the essence of what life is about. It can't solve the issue of origin. It can't answer for me, where did I come from? It can't answer the issue with me of my destiny, what's going to happen to me when I pass. It can't answer for me my purpose in life. You can't go anywhere on the internet or in cyberspace and find out, you know, where is it, what's going to happen to me? You got to go into the Word of God to find that. It's not the kind of thing that can help a person with death. These most important and essential and dramatic things in our life that we deal with on a regular basis can't be answered with technology. They can only be answered with the mind of God. You know, interestingly enough, when I talk about death, when I am asked to speak at a funeral, you know, I don't use my smartphone. My smartphone can't tell me about death. My smartphone can't tell me about why death occurs and what the human predicament is and how we're affected by that. It can't help me with that. It can't help me when people come to me or I go to someone and say, you know, I'm disappointed or I'm discouraged, or someone comes to me and says, I'm discouraged or I'm disappointed. It can't help me with that. I say, well, pick up your phone and go to this website. It can't help me with that. It's not what it's about. It can give me information. It can make me smarter in some ways, but it can't make me smarter in essence of who I am. And not only do all of us need to remember that, I would suggest this. Young people, you need to remember that. I'm not suggesting that smartphones and technology and science and all of those things that permeate what many people think are the most educated. I'm not suggesting that those things are wrong in any means. I have access to that and can use that. But I am saying this to us, all of us. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't lose sight of what truly is important. You know, death and disappointment and moral failings, none of that is addressed because I have a phone that can tell me a lot of things. That's addressed because I have a mind that can read the Word of God, and that can tell me a lot of things. And we need to be impressed with that. I think we are. But I want to remind us of just really how simple the gospel is. Paul would say this in 1 Corinthians 15. He would say, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you're saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He arose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." I mean, that's the essence of who we are. That's the essence of what we need to know. And we don't need science or technology to tell us that. What we need to do is be aware of what it can do. What we need to be aware of what it can't do. We need to use it to our advantage, but we need to set it aside. And all of us understand that what we really need to get focused on is not a phone that we carry around, but a Bible that we carry around. Make sure we understand the simplicity of that. It's kind of been an eye-opener for me. As I have gone back and as I have read some of this, some of what Paul addresses to Timothy. And of course, he's not going to answer technology in the sense that we have it today. That was not a part of what was going on in that culture. But I think what he's saying to Timothy is that there are going to be people who tell you. There are going to be people who think they know a lot more than they know. They're going to be dealing with other things other than what they need to deal with. And you need to understand, you need to have faith in the faith and let that be what moves you all the time. Something to think about, and I hope that you will tonight. You may be in this audience, you're not a Christian. We'd love to encourage you to be a Christian. We want to help you with any spiritual need that we have. And if you'd make those wishes known, we'd love for you to do that.